Welcome to the Doghouse. We got Triple Crown and Supercross to talk about this week, and we're going to turn the clock back for a week. Talk Daytona 200. We're going to talk about
that. Out of time last week.
We did. We ran out of time. Yep. And we're going to talk about the King of Baggers. Wait a minute, Warren. What are we talking about?
King of Baggers.
Thank you. And
it was not very high energy.
It wasn't very high energy at all. It's kind of disappointing.
Like, if you were like, hey, let's talk about King of Baggers, you'd have yelled out, King of Baggers! But then you're like, expert, and he's like, eh.
Yeah, Warren, you know, you don't get a second take on streaming live on YouTube, so.
Scratch that one. And
all right. Next time, get yourself pumped before the show.
Let's restart the show. Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Let's restart.
Oh, and okay, we're ignoring you, Warren. And we also gonna Warren wants to talk a little bit about the Super Hooligans.
Yeah. So okay, yeah, I actually did not get to watch the Super Hooligans. I meant to go back and watch it, and I just haven't. And
There was something else too that I did want to mention briefly, and you know, because it means nothing to Phil, so therefore we should always talk about it, and that is that World Superbike had testing this past week too, and this coming week we have both World Superbike and MotoGP, Portimao, Catalunya.
Big weekend for the pool players.
Yeah, big.
I mean,
big
realistically, weekend. You could go and watch both races. Like, Europe's very tiny. I looked at a map; it's only like 2 inches away from each other.
Because that's true. And the Atlantic Ocean is only like 2.5 inches wide.
Well, you know, they do everything in the metric system. So they're like, you know, 800 kilometers or something like that. What's that? Like a couple inches?
It's like 65 millimeters.
I don't know.
Across the ocean.
I can't figure that all out. So that's why I use American. Anyways. So 2 weeks ago was the, or yeah, I guess last 2 weeks ago now, almost.
Yeah.
Was the Daytona 200. Motor America was there. It's hard to see what the crowd was. They said the infield and stuff was packed. The stands weren't, but that's kind of typical for the race there.
Well, it'd be hard to pack those stands. NASCAR isn't even packing those stands anymore.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's on NBC. It's pretty much impossible. But I will say something, though. I was really surprised when I went to MotoGP out in Indianapolis, right, the Indianapolis Speedway, which is huge, right? Huge. And they had a really good crowd in the stands for that when I went to that. So. Yeah,
I tell you what, I don't know. You know, we haven't really talked about it. I got a ton of music time. We haven't really talked about it, but there's also talks of that track near Nashville. They want to build a MotoGP World Superbike kind of track near mm-hmm. Nashville.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, why there? And I was like, man, Europeans and Asian people, you know, from like Japan and stuff, are going to love to try and go there and get Nashville.
And see the Elvis impersonators in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. But just the cowboy hats and the country bars and mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm going to tell you what.
It's a big destination. It already is a big destination.
Not too far from home of the Kentucky mm-hmm. Kid.
They're already building the track. It's in construction.
Whether or not they're going to get a date.
A race. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether they're going to sign a contract for a race.
But you're also not that far. And if you're Louisville, or and stuff, you're having your Plachek race the week before or the week after.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, all the Nicky Hayden fans and all the MotoGP guys.
Well, I would just like to see, you know, World Superbike, you know, might want to revisit America at some point. That would be a good place, a new track.
If they finish that track and it's nice, there's a good chance that they would get some races, because as much as I hate to say it, Laguna Seca's life is on, you know, slowly dying.
It is.
So much, it has been built up around it so much that the Not In My Backyard people have started to introduce legislation. They're figuring out, you know, all the fines they can put on the track to get it shut down.
And California is only like one real stupid vote away from banning, you know, gas racing.
Yeah. Well, what I will say is, learned from when COTA was built, and that is, get signed up with somebody, World Superbike or MotoGP, as early in the process as possible, because that'll save you a lot of money. Because the changes they require in order for you to have the track there is much easier to do during construction than it is after the fact.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of the tracks in the country, there's no way, because they'd have to invest millions of dollars just to upgrade the track in order to get those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you're going to build, and I think they are talking about building a track that's suitable for F1. So it will already have a lot of the capability to be able to have,
I think it's smart being by Nashville.
I think so too.
It's a big enough tourist
attraction. It's much more centrally located, right? You basically capture the whole Southeast and a good deal of the Mid Atlantic, right?
Yeah. And even the Midwest.
Yeah. And even the Midwest parts of the Midwest.
Yeah. You just shoot down the highways there and you're there in no time.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be able to catch people.
It's a good location.
I think so. I think it's smart. I hope it comes true. I mean, realistically, you're not too far from like the Redneck Riviera, the Ozarks.
I get the feeling from things that I've read about it that Dorna is very interested.
Yeah.
In this new track being built.
Yeah.
You know, and they've loved COTA. They've been there every year. You know, MotoGP's been there every year since that track opened.
Yep.
So World Superbike, I don't know what their issue is, why they don't like America.
Well, I think it's just too expensive. I think World Superbike's making that much.
Not as expensive as going to Argentina or going to South America at all, you know, so
done for a few years because
they haven't, but that's because of political unrest primarily. But, you know, they do go to the Far East. And I can tell you, Nashville is a lot closer to the headquarters of Dorna than Malaysia is. So, anyway.
I didn't mean to railroad the Moto America talk. Let's get back to that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, the Super Hooligans, I want to just take 2 minutes to talk about that. 35 riders qualified for the races, 13 different bikes on 10 manufacturers. Of course, you had your standards, KTM, BMW, Indian, Triumph, Yamaha, Aprilia, Suzuki. Harley-Davidson had two different types of bikes in the race, you know, the old XR 1200s and the new Pan American. They jazzed that thing up for racing. And they also ran an electric bike in the race, and it actually finished 10th in race two.
Wow.
So I thought that was a very good sign.
We've never seen an electric bike run against the gas-powered bikes.
Yeah. And it's
pretty surprised.
And I just thought that was a very good note for Moto America to have that many riders on that many different types of bikes racing. And the racing was good. If you didn't watch it, it's on YouTube now, the whole race. Take your time out and go watch the two races. Both of them were very entertaining. On race one, Herfos from Australia and O'Hare on Indians got first and second. Corey West on the Harley-Davidson Pan American finished third. And then on the race two, Corey West, Jake Lewis on the Harley-Davidson Pan Americans finished first and second. And Cody Wyman on another Harley-Davidson finished third. So I can highly recommend go watch. I'm not a big Super Hooligans fan normally, but I paid for the package. I was going to watch it. So, yeah, it was good racing.
Mm. Yeah. They had a couple good races last year. I don't remember where they were. There's a couple that I watched where I thought they were really trading it up, and the bike seemed pretty fairly matched. And it was like they had teams of guys who might not have had the money for a lot of things but knew how to work on bikes. You know, a lot of times you get good racing in that, right? Then they had the King of the Baggers. Realistically, it's Kyle Wyman's class right now.
I mean, he won both races.
Although,
you know, they were running three abreast several different times during the race.
And I mean, they were close races.
Yes.
Right.
I think it's fairly, equal between Harley and Indian. And there's, you know, the two factory teams, anyone on the factory Harley or anyone on the factory Indian could win a race coming out of this first attempt.
Yeah. There's some good, I'm sorry about that. I thought I closed that page down.
How many tokens did that cost you?
Somebody hit me up on Facebook. We might have a different show later on being annoying. But anyways, I forgot to close that in the background. But here's what I'm going to say is that, you know, the races were entertaining. I love seeing the big bikes out there on the
On the bank.
And running as fast as they are, you know, they're closing. You know, at times they were definitely as fast as sport bikes racing. They were just right up there in those speeds. So it was a lot of fun to watch. And then we had the 200. And Josh Herron, you know, that's his third victory.
Get out the book of no accountability. who picked who for the Daytona 200?
I don't know. We never opened the page. You can't. Once you
can only page, open it for it's putting stuck, things
you
in.
You can't open it up again.
No, but if you pull it out, then suddenly you become accountable. So then it kind of goes, that's it. That's the end of the book of no accountability.
You can only use the book of no accountability to put things into it. You can never read things off of it.
They're like the Roach Motel. The pigs come in, but they never come out.
Yeah, I thought the race was a lot of fun to watch. Now, Josh, you know, it was almost a flag-to-flag, not quite, but almost a flag-to-flag for him because he was dominated from the start. He had great pit stops. Awesome pit stops.
That I think that was the difference.
Oh, my God. That 23
that was the
one.
That was the difference, and I would say that was something that Richie Escalante's team needs to practice. They had terrible pit stops, and they also need to figure out how to actually fill a tank completely up.
Yeah.
That would help them a lot.
I think you need to test your equipment a little bit more often because the ball valve stuck in that thing.
You know, here's what I mean. That's racing, though. I mean, you never know when something's going to break. But here's what I'm going to say: is there was a lot of endurance racing teams there, like ones that race like overseas and big names in endurance racing stuff. And even they weren't cranking out the pit stops. Herron's team was.
Herron's team. Time in. It was clear that Herron's team spent a lot of time practicing their pit stops, which is a smart move given that you have two of them you have to get through during the race if there's not, you know, a red flag or anything, so there can be more. But the final pit stop, every one of their pit stops was good. The final pit stop kind of iced it. Richie Escalante running, you know, out of fuel. At that point, he was like 13 seconds behind, but Herron ended up winning by 45 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and Tyler Scott and I guess Hayden Gillum did pretty good. They both got past Escalante. So he ended up in fourth because Escalante basically had to do a half a lap
on fumes. There was one little thing that caught my eye and I didn't notice it until I looked at the full results. Six out of the top 10 were on Suzuki. And Suzuki has pulled out of racing.
Yeah.
What's up, Suzuki? People are taking your old stuff and doing well with it.
They're broke. You know, when you're broke, they can't afford to race anymore, Suzuki. And I think Kawasaki's not far behind.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think so.
Yeah, and if Honda wasn't building cars, their motorcycle racing would be all gone too. So... But anyway, I mean, not that it mattered in the Daytona 200, but, you know, Josh Herron, that's now his third Daytona 200 win. Yeah. He had to wait 13 years between one and two, but only one, you know, basically
less
1 year.
13 months between two and three.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty impressive. Not bad for a guy his age. Yeah. Oh, and how did
God.
Hey, that's a lot. He's a lot younger than Hayden.
You know. Oh. And the announcers kind of picked up. They were talking about Hayes' win at Daytona in 2007. He didn't win in 2007. Hayes never won the 200.
I don't think I don't remember him winning the 200.
He's never won the 200. And they're like,
maybe they mean that last time he actually won a real race
or finished.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just was like, I get off the fanboy things, announcers.
Yeah. That's
right? There were good races going on and we wasted content. Doing well, and we wait for content on that. I don't know if you guys caught it, but I want to say Sunday maybe. Kayla Yakov had a article done about her in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah,
good for her.
Yeah, yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
and she had an 11th place finish there, one lap down. But you know, I mean, some of that was just Herron was on fire, and some of it was Herron's team was really on fire.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. He won by almost a half a lap anyway.
Yeah.
Herron over the guy that came in second place. So her being a lap down doesn't really mean much.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Most of the field was a lap down from Herron.
Yeah. Well, most of them were more than a lap down. We'll
exactly.
Say that.
Yeah.
You were lucky if you're only a lap down. I think Corey Alexander was the last guy one lap down, and then the rest, it just starts getting 1, 2, 3, 6, yeah, 400, whatever.
Yeah, she had a good race.
Yeah, she looked good on that bike. She looked good. I'm really hoping, and I know PJ Jacobson had that penalty, so that dropped him. He'd have been ahead of her, but he had that like 17 second penalty, which or something like that, because he blew off through the
pits. Pit row.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say is I feel like he looks good on that bike. She looks good, and I'm hoping to God that he's working with her and coaching her and helping her.
Yeah,
right? I would hope so.
I think he's really good at that, and I think he's really talented, and I think he can race and do that, you know. And it was good to see, you know, what I liked is it was good to see a lot of guys that run in Moto America up front. We didn't have a ton of guys that came in from overseas that whooped up on people, you know. But you did have Carol Haneke and Marvin Fritz,
all Americans on the podium.
Yeah,
all American.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah,
so we're not going to complain.
No, not at all. No. Never complain. It was fun to watch.
And sticking with the Kayla and PJ thing for just a moment, this is Ray Hall Racing's first motorcycle race, and I don't think as a team they performed pretty well for a first outing.
Yeah, right.
So I think they're going to be something to watch for the rest of this season in the super sport.
They had two people. They had bikes untested at that kind of length.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Two teams untested at pit stops, and two riders who did PJ Jacobson run the 200 last year? I don't think so. I don't know
I
if
don't,
he's.
I don't recall.
I think he was. I don't remember.
Wasn't
him running
he still
it.
Injured from the fire?
Yeah, I don't ever remember him running it, and Kayla didn't run it. So yeah. Two rookie riders on it too, maybe. I could be wrong on PJ, but I don't remember him because he ran a superbike last year. I'd have to look. I honestly, God, don't remember him racing the 200 before. He might have.
He might
but
have.
I don't remember it. But yeah, I mean, and there was it was just a fun race to watch. I enjoyed it. I mean, not for points or anything. Bragging rights, so it means everything.
Yeah.
Well, for the Super Hooligans and for the King of Baggers, it was for points.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. And Moto America, thanks for updating your results and points pages. Oh wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, I can't even pick on Moto America about that because World Superbike, MotoGP, Supercross, they all do it like, oh, first race ends, maybe we should update the website.
World Superbike does it.
Nobody, any of you racing series?
No, MotoGP keeps their site up to date.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything where they've not been up to date. World Superbike, I have seen it.
Check that out in like December and what you call it, and friggin' Supercross is like the worst of it.
Oh yeah, Supercross I don't pay attention to because you're right. They don't do that. They didn't even have their rider lineup until after the first week.
Now, at least Moto America has like an article about like Schultz is going to be running in the super sport class, taking the old Squid Hunter Racing, and now they got a new name for that team and stuff. And everybody's like, people are like texting me, they're like, did you hear about that? I'm like, the announcement was actually made like last week.
Did we mention, I don't recall, and we might have discussed it, and I don't remember right now, about J.D. Beach just signed a full season contract. He's going to race every race.
Yeah, we did mention that.
And P.J. Jacobson did run last year. He finished fifth.
Okay. All right. I just don't remember.
I had to check because I wasn't sure myself. Yeah, I couldn't remember if he was still injured from the fire or not.
Yeah. Fire. Got to put out the invisible fire that's burning my brain.
That's the best place to be, out on the racetrack. You're suffering from burns.
Yep. You know, I mean, it's pleasurable. Pleasurable.
Yeah, at about 150 miles an hour, cools the skin right down.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, if you get fast enough, the wind blows the flames out like a World War II bomber.
Exactly right.
Dive.
It's worse for the guy behind you. and then we had Supercross this weekend.
Why do we bother?
Triple Crown.
Yeah, we had
a triple crown. I enjoy the triple crowns.
I have mixed emotions about it. This weekend it wasn't, I could have done without the triple crown, frankly, this weekend. Yeah. You know.
Like I literally felt like normally it's like triple crown and it's like, yay, this weekend. And even in the 250s where they had different winners, right? McAdoo won one, Vial yep. won one, Deegan won one. I still felt like blah.
Yeah.
Right? Well, maybe like, that was just you.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
But none of those three was Tom Vial. So from a championship standpoint, it was a pretty significant weekend.
Well, I mean, yeah, he won the third race, right? And he finished second
overall. Deegan won the third race.
Deegan won the second race. McAdoo won the third race.
McAdoo didn't run the first race.
Okay, I don't think Vial won any of them. Go look at the results.
I have the results.
We can't see your screen.
Bill. So nice try. It's all white. McAdoo won, Vial won, Deegan won. So yes, they all won a race.
Okay.
All three of your points leaders won a race. Well, I don't even know. I'd say points leaders, but I think Deegan's
your points leader going into the weekend.
But McAdoo's your points leader coming out.
Yep, I know. I think that's pretty impressive, be honest with you.
And Pierce Brown.
He's doing the doghouse, right? Just keep racking those points up. Yep. Rack those points up. Wins are not the most important thing.
No, look at Pierce Brown. He's sitting third in points.
Yeah, I know.
11 points back. And hasn't made a podium.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when everyone keeps crashing, it just right.
hasn't
as long
made
as you
a podium sitting yep. there third in points.
Yeah,
right. That first week where McAdoo and Deegan and Vial all went down,
yeah,
killing them. And then that 113th is killing Deegan from 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's killing him. Yeah,
Daytona's killing him.
Yep,
killing him.
Yep.
But anyways,
so that was the 250s.
And the
450s was just a treat for Phil. It was jet.
More luck.
Yeah.
The jet sweep.
He's got more luck.
Well, he does, but that's because his competitors seem like they have a lot of bad luck.
Yeah,
right?
They have luck.
Cooper Webb has got a black cloud that's following him around. It's like
what could happen to Cooper Webb this week? Oh, we're just going to have a back marker put them into next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have the Monster Energy girl take him out. Oh, we'll have this. Like, it's almost like comical how many different people are hitting Cooper Webb.
Yeah. It was a good weekend for T-Rex. I mean, he actually did pretty good.
He actually looked like he's had it a long time.
Yeah. He looked good.
He looked like he was actually racing well.
Yeah. Yeah. But he couldn't hold on to when he got the whole shots, but he couldn't hold on to it. He can only make the lefts or the rights. But anyway, yeah, he had a good weekend, which he desperately needed, but he couldn't hold on to the lead. And that followed him every race.
And Tomac should have retired.
Yeah. Right. Tomac's having a tough time. I told you, I've never seen anybody. I've never seen anybody who announced their retirement that ever comes back, especially after a serious injury, and is ever the same. They never are. They don't compete at the same level.
Right?
Well, Christian Craig, he never came back from an injury.
He was never healthy.
Well, he retired and came back.
He's like Adam C. and Cirillo. Are you healthy? I'm close enough.
I've been reading a lot of rumor mills saying this is his last year.
Yeah, I've seen some of that stuff too.
I think it's the last year for Craig and CNC Cirillo.
I think so, yeah.
Probably Barcia, probably Tomac. Wrong.
I don't know what you have against Barcia. That negativity will get you muted on this show.
I think
he's
Malcolm
like,
Stewart.
Hey, every year he's like, this is it for Barcia. Barcia's like the biggest fan favorite. Chad Reed ran the LCQ for 30 years before they let him retire.
I wouldn't have known. I haven't seen an LCQ in over a decade, so
I can't
watch him. But that was pretty much, if you're a Chad Reed fan, that's what you had to watch.
He can win the LCQ. Yay.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
still counts as a win, doesn't it?
Not really.
No, not really. Yeah,
yeah, you're the fastest loser.
It's only a win from the standpoint you get into the main event.
Yeah, but then you're starting like 250th.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So. This is getting it's quickly getting to the point where we're going to just, you know, Jet's going to stroll into a Supercross championship. He's getting there. He's not there yet.
I mean, if he wins out,
points up.
Yep.
Eight rounds to go.
Yeah.
It's not insurmountable.
It's not insurmountable because he has been known to, you know, unforced errors, right? Yeah, he does. So
the
problem is
everybody's doing the unforced errors.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah, that's his big luck thing that he's having, is that the other guys keep having problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right about Tomac. I think his glory days are gone, right?
Yeah, I heard old Bruce Springsteen's dusting off the E Street Band.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Got old Silvio back in, the hair thing and the guitar strapped on him.
Yeah.
Come on, Silvio.
Where's Hunter? By the way, where's Hunter? Hunter
was back this week. He's been injured.
He finished 12th.
Yeah.
Or he's in 12th overall. I don't know where
Hunter is the big, Hunter is the big disappointment, injuries or not. I think he's the big disappointment.
I want to say he finished like somewhere in like the 8th or 9th spot.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was a bit back, but it wasn't terrible.
He's not competing with his brother. And I really thought he would have an advantage because he's got the brains for his.
I mean, Mookie is a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Dylan Ferrandez.
Yep.
I think this is his last year.
Could be.
Barsh is having a career good season and will be back next year. Plessinger started out hot and he's kind of cooled off. I think as we say in World Superbike, reality stepped in for that guy.
Yeah.
He's had his moments of being fast. I don't know. Maybe he needs to shave them all up.
It's we started the season off by saying we looked at the top 10 and we said any of these guys had a shot at it, and here we are now, 8 races left, and it looks like a walk in the park for Jet. Yeah,
Sexton, Webb, and Lawrence got the upper hand.
Well, Sexton's had his share of bad luck too. Everybody's had their share of bad
Sexton's
luck.
Sexton's a full race out, 25 points.
Yep, he's a full race
but,
out.
But you know, like you said, Lawrence can look, one injury and that's all changes.
Everything can change. Everything can change.
Until
you're mathematically there, you're not there.
Yeah, Jet takes a lot of big
risks. And even for Sexton,
they don't always pay off. They don't always pay off.
But he'll take one and it'll cause him a DNF.
He gets away with more than his share.
Yes, he does.
Right. But again, right.
He's had a bunch of good saves.
One bad weekend, and if Sexton wins, then we could actually have a competition.
And if you remember from the 250s, one of the things that hurt Jet is when he had that bad weekend, he'd follow up the next weekend with another bad one, trying to pressure himself.
It's not over until it's mathematically over. It's not over.
Right
now, he's the most consistent rider in 450s.
Unfortunately,
I just heard you say that's Jet Lawrence's championship to lose.
I didn't say that. I think you just said that. You got to take responsibility. I didn't say that.
No, listen, I would say that.
Okay. Well, Warren said it.
I just don't think it is yet.
Warren said it. Record it in the book of no accountability.
It's in there.
Okay.
Screw that guy.
Yeah. So that's it. And like I said, big weekend coming up. Unfortunately, I'm going to be on the road. I don't know if I'm going to get to see anything. I may get a chance if I, I'm going to get in where I'm headed Friday night late.
Well, you're going to be driving that expensive Tesla. Just put it up on that big screen in the center of the, it's like a 20 inch TV in the middle of your car.
How can you call a 20 inch screen TV big? Warren has like a movie screen in his living room. He actually had to have the roof lifted to get his new TV. That's why it's like, I bought a new TV.
So anyway, I'm going to try when I get it.
The hands-free device.
The good thing is that they're both in Europe this weekend, so I actually buy a little time rather than being in the forest.
You got your autopilot. You can say autopilot on.
Yeah, they don't let you put on the screen the movies and stuff like that, and our YouTube Live. They don't let you do that when you're driving for obvious reasons.
There's a hack out there
for obvious reasons, Warren. Okay.
Well, so have somebody drive for you. You're
that's what I do.
I was telling Phil that unfortunately my spouse will not drive that car. She's afraid of it, so she won't drive it.
Oh my god, I'm afraid of the toaster with wheels.
It's a toaster with wheels. At least you make it a microwave with wheels.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's probably closer. Have you ever seen one of those lithium batteries go off? It's definitely a toaster.
They don't go off. Lithium batteries don't go off.
It burns like bread in the toaster. Anyways, oh crap, I forgot to turn the music up. So we're almost out of show. We gotta go.
Okay.
That is the end of the show. That's the sound of
we forgot to start the music.
By the doghouse.
No, I started the music. I just forgot to turn it back up. Crank it up. Anyways, this has been the Doghouse here on NPNRadio.com. Lucky for you, we didn't screw it up too bad. And we're like 10 seconds from being out of here. Oh.
maybe we're out of here now.
I'm gonna turn it up annoyingly loud.